What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports and Medicine Broadcast, episode 28, Sports, Medicine, and the Ukraine for September 12th, 2012. All right, so our special guest today is Diane Shore from the Christian Sports and Medicine Alliance. This summer, she went to the Ukraine and did some work over there with sports medicine. We're going to talk about that in a second. But while we're talking about world travelers, let's talk about the 2012 Olympics. We'll go around the horn real quick. Oh, you know what, guys? I always forget this. I need to put it up at the top. All right, I am your host, Jeremy Jackson. With me, filling in for Doc right now is...
Claudia.
Karen.
Priscilla.
Diane.
There's Diane.
Leslie.
Daisy.
And then we got a couple other kids in the back. This, they're going to be first time, so they're watching, observing. And we got Lodi taking pictures. And... all right, there we go. All right, so now we get to 2012 Olympics in London. All right, so for me, I'll start it off. My favorite... I love watching women's volleyball. It's a lot of fun to watch the indoor women's volleyball. And then Destiny Hooker was probably like the best player on the U.S. women's volleyball team. It was just awesome to watch her. Or the swimmer Misty Franklin. So Misty Franklin was just phenomenal the way that, you know, she's what, 15 years old and just dominated the sport of women's swimming. So, all right, anybody else got any Olympic athlete favorites? Karen?
Nope.
Diane? Did you watch any of the Olympics, or were you...
Yeah, some of them. And, of course, I like swimming, so Mike Phelps and the Ryan Lochte and that whole challenge was awesome to just watch and watch it play out.
All right. Anybody else?
Nope.
Nope.
No? Nothing else in the Olympics? Bill, do you have a favorite summer Olympic athlete?
Was it female, or...?
Just favorite athlete in this Olympics.
This Olympics would have to be Michael Phelps. What he did was a phenomenal, in my opinion.
So again, we always have to deal with the noise from the football guys watching film or in their locker room or in that kind of thing, but it'll work. So before we get to anything, this week I think I'm just off. I don't know if I'm nervous because it's the first time this year we have a guest on or what. Things are just a little crazy, but I'm not at the top of my game today. All right, so my Twitter pick for the week, going along with the theme of Christian Sports Medicine Alliance, it's at Tweet CSMA. So at Tweet CSMA, that's where you can follow Christian Sports Medicine Alliance on Twitter. They'll get you updates and all that information about what they're doing, regular Bible verses and things like that. And I'm sure Diane might mention some of that stuff to us here in a little bit. All right, so now we have Bill with us in Claudia's seat, or Claudia was in Bill's seat, and Claudia's taking some pictures. So we're going to be taking lots of pictures, and then eventually we'll turn the lights on once these guys leave. So now that you've already heard from Diane, I'm going to tell you a little bit about her. She's an athletic trainer and health coordinator at St. Pius, is it X or 10?
The 10th.
10th. All right, St. Pius the 10 High School. Where is that?
In North Houston, just north of 610.
North Houston, just north of 610. All right. She's the director of discipleship for Christian Sports Medicine Alliance. So she works for St. Pius, that's private school. What kind of sports do y'all have there?
We have everything. We have, in the fall, we have football, volleyball, and cross country. In the winter, we have men's and women's soccer, men's and women's basketball, swimming, and wrestling. And in the spring, we have baseball, softball, track, and men's and women's rugby.
All right, so that's a pretty full load. And you've been there at St. Pius for 7 years?
No, this is my third year at St. Pius.
All right, so what were you doing for the 4 years? You said you've been in the profession for 7 years. What were you doing before?
I started out in Tyler working at another private school while I was in grad school. And then I went to Calhoun High School in Port Lavaca and then came to Houston.
All right, very cool. Well, welcome to Houston. And we are glad to have you on the podcast today. So before we get too much further, let's go ahead and find out a little bit more about your background, where you're from, like hometown, high school, all that kind of stuff. My typical first question.
So my dad was in the military, so I grew up moving around everywhere. But I went to high school in Louisiana, in North Louisiana, and graduated from Houghton High School. And then I went to Northwestern State University for 2 years, and then I transferred to the University of Montana. And after graduating from Montana, I went to grad school at the University of Texas in Tyler.
So do you think the theme of moving around the country from your parents carried over? Because you said Louisiana to Montana to Texas.
Absolutely. I kind of get tired of living in the same place after a couple of years, and I'm like, okay, where into next? So it kind of works out into what I want to do, which is go into full-time missions, because it just makes me open and available to moving wherever God wants me to go.
Works for me. Sounds like a good fit. So cool. you gotta keep up with the notes, Bill.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Just listening.
And Bill missed it last week, so he's pretty rusty.
Yeah, I'm very rusty. My mind's still in the training room. So, could you describe your job at St. Pius?
Sure. I'm the only athletic trainer there, so my time is split very thin between all of our sports. And I'm also the health coordinator, which basically means during the school day, because we don't have athletic periods, that I am in one office and taking care of any and all health problems, whether it be students, teachers, guests on campus, anything they have come up, sick kids that are like, cough, cough, I want to go home because I have a test next period. I get to deal with all of that. And then I, in the afternoon, transition to my athletic training role a little more, and I'm in the training room doing treatments and rehab and making sure that all the coverage for games and practices.
So do y'all have a nurse on y'all's campus?
No.
So basically you're doing...
basically be me without having a nursing license.
Okay. Well.
Recently you became a staff for CSMA. Tell us about that.
Well, I've been a part of the ministry since its inception. At first, I was asked to be a board member. And so for the past 2 years, I've been a board member and volunteered during the summer on trips. And now, as a staff member, I'm doing the same thing. But I'm also the director of discipleship, which means I'm doing the training and helping get people who are going on trips for us ready to share the word of God with the people who we're going to see, so that they're not only doing sports ministry and sports medicine, but they're also tying in the two. So just an easier way, because most of the people that go on our trips are high school athletic trainers, and you know, in our wonderful country, you can't really talk about God very easily in school, and so trying to train people how to be open about their faith while they're doing their work.
All right. So again, this is the first time these students are with the guests, so when we're doing this, you have to excuse us if it seems a little uneven or if it's loud. I'm not sure what those guys are doing over there. I guess they decided to do construction on the film room. I straighten the chairs like every week. I put them in order, and then somehow every week they decide they have to move them.
Well, last night there was a volleyball game.
Ah.
So yes, they took all the chairs out and they brought them back in. So.
Gotcha. I try to organize them so that they don't make all that noise, but I'm sure you just heard there was a lot of moving around over there. So it'll work. All right.
Tell us about your summer vacation.
This summer it was really busy. I traveled a little bit for family and for CSMA and doing missions. But this summer, mainly, I was super blessed to be able to work with FCA Ukraine. They called they contacted our ministry and said, we would love for somebody to come out and look at how we can partner long term. So myself and another staff member raised support and just kind of went over, not knowing exactly what we were going to be doing, knowing we were going to be covering a camp a little bit and also speaking with Ukrainian sports medicine professionals. But we had no idea what their background was, no idea anything. So it was interesting. But we made a plan and then kind of had to scrap it and wing it once we got there, because they knew a lot more than we thought they were going to, which is awesome and good. So the first week we covered a camp. There were 5 different schools that participated in camps and 10 different sports. So there was 2 sports at each camp, and we kind of rotated. The coaches from each sport rotated school, so they were at a different school every day, and we just kind of provided coverage as far as for injuries and that kind of stuff. And also, because another passion of mine is soccer, like, I got the opportunity to help coach soccer with some of the Ukrainian coaches as well. So, and then after the camp was over, we got to speak with the sports medicine professionals and just kind of work with them and share how we do things here in the States. And we also got to learn a lot about how they do things and compare and contrast the way different things are done in different countries and what they're allowed to do versus what we're allowed to do. So we did that. We spoke at a university and we're invited to just come and kind of do the same lecture, just kind of share what we know. And then we also went to another city and spoke at a medical clinic that was started by missionaries, but is now run by Ukrainians. And it's a school, or not school, but it's a clinic that basically does adaptive PE and works with handicapped children so that they have opportunities to get better and grow. So
I got a question real quick. I know some countries are closed, either like communist or their religious freedoms are very minimal.
Mm-hmm.
Is the Ukraine more or less open? Like, were you in danger or fear of going to jail for being there as a Christian?
No, not at all. It's primarily a Orthodox country. That's kind of their main religion, which I don't know a ton about. I know that it's closely related to Catholicism, but other than that, you know, there's a lot of differences as well. So, no, it's I wouldn't call it a Christian country, but it's open to Christianity. So.
Gotcha. All right. So, if y'all have any questions at any time, like if about what they did at the camp, or if you guys have questions for her, then you know, raise your hand, speak up, whatever. Find a microphone, and talk in. So that's at least half of the reason or more that we do this is so that you guys can get connected with people in the professional world. And that's why we like doing this during the sports medicine class. So anytime you guys have questions, feel free to speak up and, you know, just try not to talk over her since she is our special guest today. So, all right, before we got started, you were talking about you have a dog that likes to travel with you. Tell us a little bit about that now that we're recording.
Okay. She is a 7-year-old Chihuahua. And I've had her since she was 8 weeks old, and she's kind of been my child. When I first got her, she went to work with me a lot. She just kind of did everything with me. My coaches were really awesome. My kids loved her. She would sit in the stands with different parents while football games were going on because I felt really bad about leaving her at home all the time as she was a puppy. So she's been around people and just loves people and loves to travel. She rides around in the car with me all the time. She flies with me. She probably has more frequent flyer miles than a lot of people that I come in contact with.
So does she ever go with you on any of your mission trips? Or is this like a partnership here?
She hasn't yet. She typically spends the summer with her grandparents. But because it's hard to figure out, different countries have different restrictions as far as, and then they quarantine and
right.
do that kind of stuff. But if I go long term, she's definitely going with me. So,
what's her name?
Pixie.
All right.
Well, I just want to throw in, I have a Chihuahua named Sparky. We have a grand Chihuahua named Delilah. I have, my daughter has a little brown Chihuahua named Trixie. So when I was a child, we raised Chihuahuas. So, but Chihuahuas are very protective. So they are very loyal. They love their owner.
Yeah, I figured Bill would like the story about the Chihuahua.
And they, like I said, they're very protective. So
Pixie just, she loves people.
Wow.
People come to the house and she's like, oh, you're here? Okay. And totally leaves my side and goes and sits with them. And when different people that she knows come down and like come visit for the weekend, she's sleeping with them instead of with me. Like, she's kind of a brat.
That's pretty cool.
But yeah, but she just, I think because she's always been around people and because I love people, like she just kind of picked up on that. And
you say she stays with your parents, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, do your parents have dogs?
They do.
What kind of dogs do they have?
They have a Lab and a Weimaraner.
Okay, so she fits right in with them.
Oh, huh? She loves them.
That's cool.
So I'm guessing your dog's spoiled.
That would be an understatement, yeah.
Okay, do you dress her up?
No, she doesn't like clothes, which is okay with me.
Okay.
She has about 20 different collars, and we rotate those, but other than that, no, not really. She kind of tries to crawl out of them and gets stuck, so...
All right, so back to the topic at hand. We're talking beginning about Christian Sports Medicine Alliance, or CSMA, as I'm sure you've heard it abbreviated. And we're with Diane Shore, and so I think Daisy has another question for us.
Do you have any plans for next summer yet?
My plans aren't set in stone for next summer, but I'm definitely going somewhere, hopefully back to Ukraine for a while, and wherever else God sends me. I'm not a big planner, because I don't like it when I start making plans and they change.
Yeah.
So I found that it's easier to just not make plans and be open to whatever comes my way as it comes up. So
just tentative plans, you would like to go back to the Ukraine?
Yeah, absolutely.
Did you, while you were there, did you establish any relationships or friendships, or would it be back again with the same organization?
I made a ton of friends and actually met my boyfriend there. So
is he Ukrainian? Or
he is.
Oh, is that right? Ukrainian?
Yeah. Yep. So, you know, I made a lot of friends. I made contacts with a lot of different ministries. It's funny. When our last night in Ukraine, we were at a sports ministry training school. And I met a guy there that goes to my church here in the Woodlands. And I didn't know him at my church, but we met there. And so there's just a lot of opportunities and a lot of connections. So I definitely just feel like it's kind of where God wants me right now.
Your boyfriend, he's still there, right?
Yeah, he is.
Interesting. Yeah. So I see you never know. You never know where you'll find love.
No, absolutely not.
So do y'all communicate like via Skype or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of Skype.
A lot of Skype, a lot of Facebook. So.
All right, very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. All right. If we want to get involved with the Christian Sports Medicine Alliance, what are some of the things you think we should look at before we do that?
You know, there's a lot of different ways to get involved, and I absolutely think that the first thing is you got to talk to God. You got to ask him how he wants you involved, because you can run with it and you can make all your plans, but ultimately it needs to be glorifying him. So asking his direction will never steer you wrong. But you can check out our website, which is christiansportsmed.org, I think. You can email me, find me on Facebook. You can find all of us on Facebook. You can like us on Facebook, and then you'll get all of our updates and different devotions and that kind of stuff. If you're on the website, you can sign up for our newsletter and get more information that way. If you have a desire to go, you can fill out a volunteer application online and just check out some of the different trips that we have available. If you want to support us in any way, if you want to help, you know, we're always looking to help the different ministries that we work with. And, you know, so if you want to get together and gather your sports equipment that we can take to them and ship to them, or gather, you know, help us gather supplies, because we get a lot of donations. And so there's a lot of ways to help, and there's a lot of ways to get involved. You can absolutely pray for us. And we're working on putting different prayer requests on the website as well, just so people can constantly just kind of check in and help us out.
All right, so you said y'all collect sports equipment. Doesn't it have to be new?
No, not at all.
So obviously not the stuff that we were planning on throwing away because it has holes in it, but...
Well, yeah. But, you know, if you have balls, like practice balls that people aren't using, or old bats that aren't being used anymore, or, you know, anything. I know specifically in Ukraine they have a bunch of different sports that they're working with and a bunch of different coaches, and they're trying to get some different sports off the ground and introduce them into the country a little more and make them a little more popular. So they're thankful for anything they can get.
Is there any sports over there that we don't have over here that you noticed?
I wouldn't say that there's any sports that we don't have. They have a bigger emphasis on some different sports than we do. Obviously, soccer is big over there. But, yeah, I mean, pretty much it's the same sports, and they're trying to introduce a lot of the sports that we have here there.
What did you expect to teach them in the Ukraine?
Well, you know, we really didn't have any idea what they knew. And so the other staff member that I went with, Kara, I think you guys talked to her last spring, maybe?
Yeah, it was a different group of kids altogether,
okay.
But
okay.
Both Bill and I were here. Actually, I don't think the kids weren't in here that time.
No.
Okay.
We did that over Skype.
Yeah, we did that over Skype.
That's right. But Kara and I, she's a certified sports medicine teacher through the state, and so she kind of took that curriculum, and we just kind of came up with a plan from that as far as what we would kind of base it off of. So how we tape and you know, some different things like that. One thing that I've noticed in the different countries that I've worked in is that everybody tapes differently, just like everybody tapes differently here. But here, you pretty much get the same things done, and there they just kind of do their own crazy tape job sometimes. But it's fun to, like, learn and switch back and forth with them, and I've learned some different tape jobs that I actually use with my athletes that they like a lot better than a basic ankle tape job, and so...
So do you tell them beforehand, hey, this is a Ukrainian version?
Yeah, actually, the tape job that I use for most of my soccer players, I learned in Holland. And so I'm like, you get the Holland special on this one. So, yeah, it's fun.
So what are people from Holland called?
Dutch.
Dutch. Ah, it makes sense.
Yeah.
I should have known that. So where is the Ukraine geographically?
It is next to Russia. It's just... west of Russia, in between Poland and Russia. And it's on the Black Sea. And I don't remember what else is above it, but yeah.
Right, sorry, so
back when I was in school, they were part of the USSR.
Absolutely.
So.
Up until about 25, 28 years ago.
Yeah. How has this experience changed your professional life?
You know, I'm blessed to work in a Christian school to begin with. But... just, it's made me a lot more open to sharing my faith with students and look for opportunities to really just show them, you know, who God is and how he is. It's also, like, as I was saying, like, I've been able to embrace different tape jobs and look at different cultures, and my school is very diverse. We have kids from all over the Houston area, and so, and we have a ton of international students, and so it just helps me to be more open to and accepting of them and looking for ways to work with them and to learn from them instead of trying to always impose what I know to them, but also make me more open to what they can teach me.
All right. So you already said that you learned some tape jobs. Is there anything else that you learned that impacted your professional life besides what you just said there?
You know, I think that for me, the biggest thing is just how I look at different situations. It was interesting to learn how the sports medicine professionals in Ukraine feel the same way I hear a lot of athletic trainers here in the States feel, that they're underappreciated and underpaid, and they thought that that was unique to them. And it was very interesting to be able to explain that a lot of people here feel the same way, because they look at us as, oh, you're American and you have everything. And so it was good to be able to share with them, hey, you know, that's not true. But also for us to learn that it's just kind of how this profession is. And it's, we have to work as sports medicine professionals to gain respect and gain, you know, I don't know what the word I'm looking for is.
Credibility.
But yeah, there you go. Just in what we do and how important that it is.
Interesting. Is the Ukraine a third world country, second world, first world? I think we're first world here. And so a third world would be a really poor country.
Right.
So
I would say it's more second world.
So.
And I don't want to offend anybody by saying that. But yeah, they, you know, they have running water. They have plumbing. They have, you know, most of the things that we have here. Ukraine was pretty much decimated by communism, and it kind of, they went in, and it used to be a very big agricultural country, and when the communists came in, they kind of ruined a lot of that. And so it's very Soviet looking as you're driving through, and you see all the buildings are very bland and straight and square, and you know, but you know, I would say they're not part of the European Union because of some other issues, and just the fact that they don't have as much money and their government is pretty corrupt. But, you know, they're definitely not third world. I compare, like, I worked in Honduras for 3 months as a missionary intern a couple years ago. And the two are very different. And, you know, they have, you know, in Ukraine, they have paved roads, they have cars, they have, you know, everything. So.
So the difference between them and maybe United States is maybe technology industry type.
Yeah. Yeah. I would
improvements,
say.
Improvements, basically.
Yeah. And I would just say that they're probably about 20 years behind us in a lot of things.
What type of people did you serve in your public injury clinic?
Mostly just athletes who knew the people that we worked with FCA. So they just kind of put the word out that, hey, if anybody has any injuries that you want looked at, if you have anything that's nagging you that you want to get checked out, if you want to learn how to take care of something that you know you have, go ahead and come in. So I had the opportunity to check out and work with a couple of their professional soccer players and some kids that go to sports schools. Their school system's a little different, and they don't necessarily have athletics at the general public schools, but then they have sports schools where if you're an athlete, you kind of go there and you get your education, but you also spend a lot more time in your sport. And so we had a few kids from there come in.
So their professional soccer team doesn't have a sports medicine professional working with them?
Well, they do. Their professional soccer system's a little different, though. It's kind of like, I would say it's more easily compared to our professional baseball system where they have, you know, lower, they have different levels.
Gotcha.
And so the sports medicine professionals there are contracted by the government, and so they might have, I think in the city that we were in Rivne, they had maybe 6 or 8 sports medicine professionals that take care of every athlete in that city. From weekend warrior little kids playing rec leagues to the professionals. And so they're spread really thin and don't always have the opportunity to give them the attention that they need.
Gotcha. Very cool. That's it. So did you see any general public, when I work events and stuff like that, you'll always get the grandma or something, my knee hurts.
Yeah.
Well, you're 80 years old. It's going to hurt. I mean, did y'all see any of those type of people?
A little bit. Like during some of the camps that we were at the first week, people who were just helping out at the camps and parents that would come in. But they also, the people there don't necessarily ask for a lot of help. And so until they knew kind of who we are and what we were doing and they got comfortable with us, they didn't do a lot. So, but the coaches that we were working with and some of those people, absolutely. They were like, hey, you know, my knee hurts, my elbow hurts, my neck hurts.
Did y'all need translator or did they speak English?
We pretty much use translators. We, some of them speak English and more than others. But for the most part, I don't speak Russian and or Ukrainian. And so absolutely we use translators.
All right. So how does that work with the guy you're dating? Does Facebook have a translator? I know Google has a translator. Does
he actually speaks English?
Okay.
Yeah. He actually ended up translating for me most of the week. So because I was working with soccer the entire week that we were doing the camps because I was able to coach as well. And there was another American missionary who has been over there for about 20 years who was, we thought was going to kind of be my translator, but he kept forgetting to translate for me. And so Dima kind of stepped in and was my translator, and that's how we got to know each other. So
very cool.
Yeah.
All right. You talked about sharing your faith is one of the ways that going on the mission trip has impacted you, but you also work at a Christian school or a Catholic school. What do you think are some ways, something that we do here, because you know, I am a Christian, but then I am limited by what I can say, share, or I don't know, give out or whatever by the state and all that other stuff.
Right.
And so what are some of the things that you think that me or somebody in my situation could do?
You know, I think the biggest thing is how you live out your life. Live out and walk a Christian life no matter what you're doing and how you're doing it. And you know, people are going to pick up on the fact that you're doing things differently. But, you know, I don't know. I'm also a firm believer, and when I worked in a public school, I felt this way as well, that if I have a kid that's injured and I have a kid that's hurting, I can ask them if I can pray for them. And, you know, you can ask if there's anything that you can pray for at any time, and they can tell you no. And you don't have to pray with them if they don't want you to, but they still pick up on the fact that you care enough about them to ask them. So I don't think that is infringing on anything, just asking. So
So is that something you normally do, say, with every athlete, or you try to do it with anybody that comes with an injury, or?
You know, like, I do it a lot on the sidelines. You know, my kids, and I have a pretty close relationship with most of my athletes. We only have 700 kids in the whole school. And so, you know, my athletes are multi-sport athletes for the most part, and so we know each other pretty well. And, you know, they'll come to me with problems. They come, you know, and when they come to you, you can say, you know, if they initiate it, you can say whatever you want.
Right.
So, and that's, I mean, that's true in any situation. So, you know, we do a lot of that. You know, they come to me with problems, both medical and not. And that's my first thing with them is I'm like, okay, well, how can I pray for you? Because that's, it speaks volumes to them that you care enough that you would seek God on their behalf. You know, and then just being there and being open and being available to listen and just show them the love that God shows you. So it's not always, you know, actions speak louder than words. And I know that's kind of a cliche, but it's so true, especially when you're trying to share your faith. They're going to know that you're different, and they're going to know that, you know, when you're showing them love, no matter how you're doing it or no matter what you say, they're going to feel it. So
if the staff or adults there at your school come to you, because you said you're pretty much the medical person for the school, do you treat them more or less the same way?
Yeah. You know, our school, you know, being a Catholic school, we're very open, and there's, anytime anybody needs prayer for anything, there's an email that's sent out, hey, pray for my family or pray for this. And so it's just, it's really open, which I love. And that's part of the reason why I went back to a private school. Because I love being in that atmosphere. In the same regard, like, I kind of miss being in a public school where it's not the mainstream and being able to actually reach people a little more. But it's a trade-off.
Yeah. One of the things my father-in-law kind of taught me was don't say I'll pray for you, but if someone says, hey, will you pray for me, do it right then there.
Absolutely.
With them, and then that way, one, you don't forget, but two, that they know you are because you're doing it right there with them. And so I think that's definitely something that I would like to try to incorporate into my practice as a, you know, sports medicine professional, but I think it's something that is difficult because I haven't been in the habit of doing so.
Absolutely. It definitely takes like a conscious, and it's still for me, is I still have to remind myself, hey, you're hurting and you're in pain, let me pray for you. You know, it's one of those things that in our culture is very, we're taught not to be that way, just in the general public and in the worldview. And so to step out and step into like the Christian role, and, you know, it's a conscious effort.
Definitely. Next time I'll make sure I put names. I usually put names by the questions for the students, so they're not like, oh, is it my turn? Is it my turn? Whose turn is it? Is it Leslie? Can you read that one?
Yeah. Where do you see yourself in 5 to 10 years?
Hopefully working in the mission field somewhere. I feel called to be a full-time missionary, and the beauty of being on staff with CSMA is that now I get to tie in what I already do as a profession and my love for God, and I get to put them in together. And so I want to be a part of a sports ministry. I'm looking right now, my focus country is kind of Turkey right now, and working with the Muslim people and the Muslim population, just showing them the truth about who Jesus is. So
the Muslim population.
Yeah.
So that is what we were talking about. That is a closed country.
Absolutely.
So it's difficult. All right. So I'm going to go ahead and delete the name off of this podcast so that if she does, that nobody will know. So I know I've heard stories of, you know, people being arrested, or like even women in general getting arrested for going outside with their head uncovered. Yeah. And, you know, I don't want to be taken as I'm saying something bad about the Muslims or anything like that, but this is just what I've heard, what I know. And so I know that that would be a very big calling, a very challenging thing to go to a country that is not open to the Christian faith, to be a woman and to share your faith there.
Absolutely. So. You know, and it varies on the country. Turkey's a little more open. It's not, as closed as, say, Iran or Iraq or Afghanistan would be. You know, Istanbul's a very worldly city, and Turkey's a little more, just because of its location, is a little more open. And while it's not a Christian country, they allow, especially for expats, to have, like, Christian church services. I think the way it is in most parts of Turkey is that they, Americans and or other expats, can do what they do, but it's frowned upon or not allowed for the citizens of that country to come in. But I could be wrong.
Okay, I gotcha. Expats, what's that?
Expatriates, it's anybody who is not from that country that's living there. So if, you know, and that's anybody who's working there. If you work for an oil company and you're living over there, you're considered an expat.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. All right. We are getting close to the end of the class period by the time we finish up saving it. So
is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners?
You know, I just want to just encourage people to walk in faith and be who you are, and don't be afraid to step out because of your faith and do what you feel like you got to do and what you feel like God's telling you to do because of your situation or what people might think of you. Because you never know who you're going to reach and who God's trying to reach through you. So just be open.
All right. So again, if you want to contact Diane, she had Sports Medicine, Christian Sports Medicine Alliance on Facebook, or the website,
mm-hmm.
all that stuff's on there. And,
I'll
do my best to remember to put a link on there from our website to there. I know I've liked them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. And that was, again, Tweet CSMA.
Absolutely.
There at the top. And so lots of ways you can get connected. If you want to collect sports equipment, then you can contact one of them, send it to them. Or even if you're an athletic trainer and you want to donate some supplies.
Absolutely.
Say, what if we have like a box of Band-Aids that's been in the cabinet for like 5 years? Is that something we need to throw away? Or
nope, we'll take it.
All right.
I'll tell you that they love cold spray over in Europe. So if anybody has cold spray lying around that nobody's using because we just don't use it,
right,
hand it over.
All right. So cold spray, all those bottles of cold spray that are leaking in your cabinet, go ahead and ship those on over. So for you, those of you that don't know, it's a spray, like when I spray it on your skin, it makes your skin, it's kind of like liquid ice. Like if I spray it on you, it just makes your skin cold. And so some people, especially our soccer players,
absolutely,
they tend to think that it's magic. Like sometimes they'll call it magic spray. And so
I think they just like it because it puts a little ice on their skin.
Yeah, well, whatever. So, all right, so cold spray coming your way, hopefully. All right, for our sponsors, right, people that support us.
Of course, we would like to mention the people that support us. Pasadena ISD Education Foundation, DonorsChoose.org, and, of course, Memorial Hermann, which supports us medically and educationally.
Maybe next week I'll wear my Memorial Hermann polo on the podcast, so there's a logo right here. If you're looking live, you can see the video right here on my back, right where it would be my spine, is a Memorial Hermann logo. So it would just be plastered on the broadcast the whole time. Maybe not.
And he's not wearing it right now, those who listen.
Yeah, yeah. So,
that's next week.
There you go. There's more incentive for you to listen live just so you can see what I'm talking about. All right, so Bill's got some words of wisdom.
Yeah, catch on fire with enthusiasm and people will come from miles to watch you burn. That's Charles Wesley? Is that Wesley?
Wesley, yeah. Wesley, sure. I don't know. I pulled it offline, but in the theme of Burning Man, I think that was like last week or something like that. Sorry, they light this huge structure on fire and people from all over the states get together to watch it burn. But if that's you, if that's your passion, then people will come to you to watch that. So, if you'd like to contact us, you can check out our website, www.pasadenaisd.org/phs/athletic-training. On there, there's links to contact us. There's links to the sports medicine course, the CPR videos if you want to watch those. Or there's the Ustream and Justin TV links, and then the link for the today's meet so that you can join in the chat, because we're at the school, so they can't we can't open the chat features on Ustream just yet, or at least I haven't tried recently. And so you can join in there on today's meet or Ustream and contact us. And get involved with the show.
Yeah, you can also follow us on Twitter at PHS Sports Med, Google Plus, PHS Athletic Training, Facebook.com/PHS Athletic Training. If you actually want to talk to us, you could call us at 713-740-0310 and extension 01312.
And then, of course, there's the app that Leslie downloaded. Leslie, what do you think?
I heard the podcast.
All right, so she listened to the last podcast, 27. We did the podcast last Wednesday. On Wednesday, she downloaded the app. On Thursday, she asked me where the podcast was. On Friday, she asked me where the podcast was. So it takes me a little time to edit it, put it up there, because I got to, you know, do all the information. But it was up there. And so you can download the app and check it out. Again, it's nothing super crazy cool and anything like that, but it's an easy way to listen to the podcast. So
I think it is. I mean, other people can hear us, so I like it.
All right. Well, there you go. From the words of Leslie, download the app. Got it? All right. So for Jeremy
and Bill,
Karen,
Diane,
Priscilla,
Leslie,
Daisy,
and the rest of the sports medicine class, that's a wrap.